Yeah, I really liked it. I think I really got something out of the messages, and I really feel like there's been, like, a big change in me. I really want to make this quick because I know we don't have a lot of time. So I was basically delivered from a suicidal spirit, a spirit of depression, and I was prayed for by Brother Andrew and a few of my friends, and it's gone now, and I haven't been dealing with anything. And it was actually very funny because I wasn't planning on being prayed for. I was stuck in the mentality that I wouldn't be healed because it had been going on for such a long time. And so, when I was prayed for, it was just completely gone after that, and I haven't been dealing with anything. So,
great.
Yes.
Amen. Well, the devil kept telling me not to tell a testimony, so I'm here telling a testimony. Basically, these past few weeks, especially after I had gotten saved, he had started reminding me of things I had done from my past, and I knew God had forgiven me and stuff, and I was like, I know I shouldn't be worried about it. I repented, God forgave me of my sins and all that, but it was still in my mind, and it was kind of stressing me out. So I was battling with all that baggage from my past, and still felt emotional and a little scarred from things I had been through. Even a couple grudges that I needed to let go of, just things I needed to just let go of completely. And So I went up to the altar at BYC, and a sister came up. It was actually my counselor. She was like, I think God wants you to let go of some baggage from your past. You can't hide from God. He loves you, and he forgives you and wants you to continue moving forward in his word. He's forming you into a mighty woman of God. And I lost it. I started crying, praising God. I felt a huge burden lift off of my shoulders, and I was so happy to have been delivered of that. But I really want to thank Brother and Sister Dell for paying for us, to giving us the opportunity to go to this camp. It was a real blessing, and we had lots of fun and really enjoyed it.
Amen.
Thank you.
So I want to thank Brother and Sister Dell for letting me go to this camp, because without them paying for it, I may not have gotten the blessing that I got.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I promise I wouldn't cry. So I was dealing with a lot of depression. And Satan was like telling me that I couldn't get away from it. And I believed it. So I couldn't get away from it. And I kept going to the altar, and I was trying to get rid of it, and I would pray, and I wouldn't get anything. And Satan would tell me, see, you're not going to get delivered from that depression. Like, you're never going to get rid of it. You're just stuck with it for the rest of your life. So on Wednesday night, I went up to go get prayed for, and Brother Andrew Glover told me about how God could free me from that, and if I only just believed that I could be freed from that depression, then I wouldn't have to be stuck with it the rest of my life. And so he started praying for me, and I believed. And the next day, I really felt a burden lift off my shoulder, and I knew that I was delivered. And of course Satan came back to me, and he told me that I wasn't delivered from it. And he tried to still tell me that I still had depression. But I kept believing, and I went back to church, and ever since that day that I got prayed for and I believed, I haven't had depression ever since.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to kick that spirit of depression out of here. Praise the Lord. And the only one that can do it is God. When you yield to Him, He's more than able to do anything. So we just thank God for these young people. Thank God that God's delivered them from some of these things. Now it's, Satan's going to battle them. You know, it's going to make them think, oh, what you got up there, it wasn't, it's just temporary. No, when God does a work, it's eternal. So you believe that. Amen. Brother Ryan, we know that he was battling at one point in time with depression, so he knows how it is. I think Sister Gabby as well. So some of us here have. So We say, boo devil. Amen. Amen. To that spirit. Amen. Praise God. We're going to have, let's just sing this little song, and we're going to get the group ready, the young people. They're going to sing a song. And so let's just sing, where's my song list at? Let's just sing Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus. Thank you. Key of F. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. And follow Him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Just take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Take up your cross and follow
Oh, fear the Lord, give you everything. He'll give you everything. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify.
Clap of praise. Appreciate these young people. Praise God. Appreciate the Lord. Amen. Appreciate his gifts. Amen. Thank God for that. Praise God. Where's Jonas at? Jonas, can you help us take up our offering, please?
God bless the tithes and offering in Hill Poppy, and make him not be sick anymore. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just sing the song, Heavenly Father. I appreciate you. Key of F. Amen. Just have Brother Wade come here in just a moment. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Once again, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Let's sing this, let's sing Touching Jesus. Oh, touching Jesus, it's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Oh, there is only one way to touch Him. You just believe when you call. Again, touching Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Or there is only one way to touch. You just believe when you call on His name. Amen. That's what He wants us to do, saints. Just believe. Believe what He's already done for us. That's all He cares about. Do you believe His word? Amen. Praise God. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Wade comes. Amen. Pray for Brother Wade. Amen. And the Lord will be able to speak through him. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Yes, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
I forgot to mention this, that the new song special sheets, they're downstairs. There's one also in the recording room. So just look through it and see if you have to sing a song special, just how we've been doing. They're up for this month and for August.
Right.
I forgot to mention.
Thank you, Brother Luis, for doing that. If you don't know where that's at, there's one on the refrigerator downstairs. I'll tell you when you're supposed to sing. So, and if you cannot sing, you need to let one of the song leaders know. Actually, Brother Luis is probably the one you need to let know if you can't be here. Like today, Sister Esther Smallwood was not here, and it was her time to sing. So thank you, Sister Christine. I want to thank Sister Christine and Sister Trudy Collins for taking time with the youth and putting in some good harmony, not just coming up here and practicing a song, but trying to get the parts together and the pieces together and spending a lot of time doing that to help our youth sing to the glory of the Lord. You know, I like special singing. Regular singing is okay, but special singing to me is it's all from the heart, but it comes from one person and you can get to feel what they're going through in the song. Usually you'll sing a song of something you're going through or a song of something God's laid on your heart. Well, if God laid it on your heart, you're the conduit He's going to use to get it to the people. At that moment, that's your ministry, is to be able to sing that special the way that you do sing it. So I thank Sister Christine and Sister Trudy. They've done it for a while, but they really stepped up. We had a good time at the 50th anniversary. And also I wanted you to remember one thing. The devil's real. When you stand up and make a statement that we've only had two pastors in the whole 50 years, well, see what he done. He tried to knock us off our testimony, but we still have a testimony. This church, for those of you that weren't here, we've been in one building for 50 years. We've never made a payment on this building. And we've only had two pastors in 50 years. There ain't many message churches can say that. So just feel happy and joyous. And there's been no splits. We've had people leave. We've actually had people go off and do other churches under our blessing. But and that goes to show you that the devil's going to try his best to knock you off your testimony. Okay? He ain't gonna knock you off testimony. Do you know William Marion Branham, the prophet of the end time, suffered depression? He said he did. I was looking up quotes when you were talking about that. Two times he said, I suffered the same thing, sister. Depression? A prophet? Probably more than you'll ever know. Amen? Because he was in between two worlds. And depression is really just, it's nervousness. It's nervousness and thinking that everybody's against you. And nobody's against you, girl. We all for you. Amen? We all for you. Don't you worry about that. There's one thing, though. When the devil's mouth's moving, he's lying. Amen? And like I said before, all of you today in this building should feel comfortable except for one person. I want the devil to feel so uncomfortable in this building till he leaves. Amen? We're going to have a church service anyway. Whether he hangs around or not, he can just listen to all this good singing and good preaching that we're going to do. So God bless you. Brother Luis will be bringing the message for us Wednesday night. Also remember and be praying for our youth service. Will be July the 24th. That will be on a Saturday. And will also be Sunday. We need some workers to get together. Next Sunday we'll discuss it. What we're going to do is start at 3:00. We'll have a meal for the young people. And Brother Richard Hyatt, as far as I know, he's going to be here from Kentucky the whole weekend. And he's that brother I go preach for when I go to Illinois hunting. And he's a really good, solid brother. So he'll be here for the weekend. Also, remember, there's camp meeting come up in August. Brother Joe Green's camp meeting. There will be no foreign brothers there, but they'll still have the meeting at the church. Brother Donnie Reagan and Brother Ron Spencer will be doing the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday services. So let's go support them if we can. Also, I got a call yesterday from Brother Brad Powell. They will be having their youth camp Labor Day weekend. That will be September, somewhere in the 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there. So just keep that in your heart and your mind. That will be in September. Also, remember, we will be having a youth meeting on September the 25th and 26th. Brother Andrew Glover will be with us. So that will be our youth meeting on Saturday. Brother Andrew will be here Saturday and Sunday. So just keep that in your prayers. That's what's coming up. And also, Sister Esther Smallwood called and said her nose is not broke. So thank God for that. It's just a bad sprain. And I'm not going to figure out or wonder what happened and how she got that. It really doesn't matter. She's healed. Amen. That'll be all right. We serve a living God. He takes care of us even when we don't take care of ourselves. Amen. He's right there, ever present help in a time of trouble. So let's go to the Word of God in Hebrews 9:11. And just remember, continue to remember Brother Dale in your prayers. I got my phone up here too, so I'm sorry. But if something comes up, we'll let you know. Anna's got her phone open too, Sister Lisa also. They are still checking him out for other things, but you know what? Everything will be all right. Amen. Amen. You just pray for us. All of us need to just bind together closer, not scatter, you know, just bind together closer, and we'll be fine. This morning was, it was a testimony that the man, even though he wasn't feeling good, he got to the place that he was supposed to be. He stood behind his pulpit. Right here. He stood right here. Now, whatever was happened, that's okay, but he stood in his post of duty. He didn't stay home. He didn't shun his post of duty. So we thank God for that. So let's go to Hebrews 9:11. We're still on the eternal plan of redemption. This is part number 25, and we'll continue on, and we'll be talking about the redemption of Israel, all right, because they are part of the plan of redemption. Right. Hebrews 9:11, let's go there. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this day that you've given us, Lord, time to look into your Word of God and, Lord, to be able to assemble a group of people together to hear the Word of God. And, Father, now as we are assembled here, Lord, we pray that you would sanctify us, Lord. Move us out of the way. You take over. You do the speaking. You do the revealing, Father, because without you, this is truly just a meeting of minds. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Dale. Touch him, Lord, in the hospital there as they're doing what man can do. But we know that you're God, and you change not. And he stood for you all those years. Now I pray that you're up there, right there, standing with him, there in the emergency room with your servant. We pray, Lord, that you just strengthen each one of us, keep us all strong and healthy and safe. Forgive us of our many sins, and, Lord, all the different things that we have. Lord, problems of life, sometimes we take them for granted, but, Lord, we know that you're there with us. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us. So give us, Lord, today our daily bread. Thank you for the visitors that are here, Lord, and they may be having to return back home sometime soon, Lord. We pray that you'd just get them back home safe. Father, just give us, Lord, strength for the journey. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 9:11. Jim keeps reminding me that's 9:11. So I don't know if that's some kind of be an alert. 9:11. Yeah. It's going to be a bomb. I better not be bombing. It's not a bomb. But she does that when she sits up here. When she sits back yonder, she doesn't say anything. But Christ, being coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. And here's been my whole thought for 25 services, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption for us. Now let's go to Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord will do nothing but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Isn't that what we're supposed to do according to Revelations 10:8? We're supposed to prophesy. Now let's read Revelations 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery, one mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. You may be seated. We're going to read this 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Boy, it's pitiful that you don't have any hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now this is what we're going to try to cover. We got to cover this and then go on to the two witnesses. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, that's me and you, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. No one on this earth is going to prevent the bride coming out of the ground except us getting in position. Amen. This eternal redemption right now is hinging on us getting out of the way and it going on to Israel. Everybody got that? Say amen. For the Lord himself, he's not trusting it to a second person or a third person. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. You know, if you talk to people in the world, they're looking for a doot, 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 and a hey, and a, right? That's what they're looking for. It's already happened. And you and I are the recipients of it. You and I are sitting here today, fulfill that scripture right there. To the point. And the trump of God. And look at that. It says pause. Pause right here. Pause. Because we haven't got to this part yet. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we what? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, so let's pull up the chart just for a second for some of the visitors that's been here. Y'all should have yours somewhere in your seat, or we're going to show it right here. The chart of we're tracking from Adam to the future home. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, so for the ones that have not been here, we kind of have already flowed through all this chart, and I'm not going to background because we don't have time. For we are right here. We're past the day of Pentecost. We're getting to a place where Jesus, well, let's go right here to where Jesus, he came to his own and his own received him not, because he had to put the Old Testament church away because of their whoring that they went to, just plain. He had to put them away because they were prostituting him. They were following other gods. They were doing things that they weren't supposed to do. So God put them away. When he came to the earth, the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So it was to the Gentiles and to the Jews. But he came to the Jews first, and the Jews rejected him. And we know that's in John 1:11. You don't just keep the chart there. Let me read this. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. God blinded his own children until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, where does this Gentile church begin? On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1. Christ came back as the Holy Ghost of the new birth onto 120 people. The promise that he gave them, it did not go to the Jews because, listen, we'll pull up the chart in a minute. We look at Daniel 70 weeks and Daniel 9:24. It's not just something that we debate about in the message. It's a happening. It's the redemption of Israel. They get a sixfold purpose. We get six seals. No, Brother Wade, we get seven. We get six seals. There's only six seals in the Bible. Because the seventh seal is silent. And there stands the seventh seal right there. Remember, Jesus preached six seals in Matthew 24. Right? Because he was number seven. And the prophet of God tells us six seals finish his redemption. So the sixfold purpose in Daniel 9:24, we'll read it a little bit later on, that sixfold purpose, whatever puts us in the future home or puts us in the millennium is going to put Israel in the millennium. But ours is a new birth and going through the three stages of grace and going, coming up to the stature of perfect man and then taking a body change and then taking a rapture. Listen, folks, we're not looking for a rapture. Right. Boy, some that don't come here look at you kind of cross-eyed. Why? It's not even in the Bible.
Right.
Yes.
there's a catching away. We're going to read it in a minute. In Revelation 4, it says, caught up. I thought I just read to you that the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we're looking for a resurrection message. We're looking for a resurrection message coming from me and you to call the dead saints out of the ground. Then the Bible says we will be changed. Then the Bible says we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So let's just quit skipping all the way to the rapture. It's not going to take place till the dead come out of the ground. And where is it going to come from? Nope. It's going to come from you and me. It's got the voice of the resurrection is inside of us. Amen? That's where everybody's confused. You see how the devil delays things? Even in the denominational world, he delays things. Well, that's okay. Now, that's all right. And if you're a denominational person, they don't care anything about church ages. But they know that they're going to have to go through 7 years of tribulation. And then they're going to get saved. That's what they say. So what? So now I can just keep waiting and keep waiting and keep waiting. No, one day that still small voice is going to say, you missed it. Because this catching away that we're going to come to is secret. But it's got to come from the voice of the resurrection inside of me and you. The opening of those seals, that seventh seal will produce itself, stand on the earth in a bride, a headstone, and call the saints out of the ground. Because listen, that's why it's important that the Son of Man ministry has to come back in the end time. Amen. The Son of Man's what's been through all that. Right. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, where were we at that time? We were inside of that Son of Man. Right. See, it's not, we try to separate this thing. We try to, like I said before, we beat the oneness to death and we beat the Trinitarians to death and we're the biggest tunists you ever seen in your life. Well, there's Jesus and here's us. I ain't nothing and you ain't nothing. Well, I'm going to read, I read y'all the other day in John chapter 17. There's the Lord's Prayer. That they may be one. As you and I are one. Well, how was the Father and Him one? No, they weren't two. They were one. So you and I, that's the great revelation of the seventh seal, is that you and Christ are one. Amen. And we're going to produce that. I promise you we are going to produce that because we have to. There's nobody else to produce it. No one else. Church ages are over, folks. Church ages, we're done with the church ages. But we had to have a Gentile bride because God had to put away Israel from all this back here. But Jesus came to his own received him not. He walked in this world, he preached 3.5 years, he died, he went to hell, he came back, he resurrected as the Son of Man. That flesh body man actually came out of the ground with a glorified body. Amen? Malachi's running the cameras. I told him he's got to keep up with me. But that's what it's going to be, folks. We've had down through the church ages, we've had a hope, as Brother Altig was talking about. Everybody's had a hope. I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm going to make it. Hope I'm going to walk on the streets and go. I hope somewhere in this tribulation period I'll get saved. I'm talking about the denominational world. That's not true. You get born again now, you don't have to go through the tribulation. You don't have to stand judgment. I told you that's two great revelations that if I never get another revelation, kids, if you never get another revelation, realize one thing's for sure. You do not have to ever stand at the white throne judgment. You will never have to give an account of what you did if you're born again. And you will not have to go through the tribulation period. You are going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord and ever be with Him. And we'll read that in just a little bit. But the bride now is a Gentile bride. We have to go through a church age. We have to go through, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. We have to go through those things. You look in Acts 13 verse 46. Paul says, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You don't have to just leave that up. I'm just going to read it. I've already read these about three times, all right? But now let's take that down and let's read Revelations 1:13 through 20, if that's all right, brothers, if you pull that up. Revelations 1:13 is what? In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of who? Son of man. Son of man. God in human flesh. But what is his position at this time? He's girt about the paps, the breast, with a golden girdle. So he's in bride form. And John sees that, and the man standing like this, and here he's got the seven candlesticks right down here in front of him. He's got his arms out, but he's got a special something in his right hand. He's got seven stars. Seven stars. Not six, not five, seven stars. Head and hair white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were flames of fire. You see, that shows also that in bride form, he's a judge. Because the Bible said the saints will judge the earth. You and I will be the judge. There'll not be just one person sitting up there. The whole bride will be sitting up there in judgment, judging the world. You will not have to be judged one more time. Your judgment is over if you're born again. And his feet was fine, like fine brass as a burning the furnace, and voice, the sound of many people or waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. What? A word. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Now, only the Son of Man can say that. And behold, I am alive forevermore. You see, Lazarus and all the different ones that was resurrected from the dead, they had to die again. This man right here, once he said, I am alive forevermore, he's alive for eternity in that glorified body. Everybody got that? And have the keys of hell and of death. He picked up a set of keys while he was gone. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now listen, there were not seven individual churches like this building. It was a characteristic of the age. And the people fit that characteristic, right? This is not a Laodicean church, thank God. Building. Alright, and there was not one over in Laodicea over there in Asia. It was a church and it was a characteristic, but the important thing was God sent seven stars. Let's go to the next one. That word means a messenger, an envoy, one who is sent, an angel, or a messenger straight from God. So we needed those seven messengers, and like I told y'all before, if Brother Branham is not our messenger, where's number seven? Because he promised me seven church age messengers. And if we're in the last church age, he's got to put together for me. Because you know what then, Brother David? Then if he sends me to hell, I'm going to stand as judgment. I'm going to say, look, you didn't do what your word said. You can do that, you know. You can do that to God. You can take him to his word. Didn't know what Brother Brown said? Take him to his word. I take him to his word and say, look, you didn't send me a messenger. If William Brown was not the person, you gotta send me one. But thank God, I'm not searching for another one. I'm not looking for another man. I'm looking for the man. Christ Jesus in a people. Take all your inadequacies and all your dates and all junk. I don't care. William Branham brought me to Christ. He brought a clarity to the message. He brought me strength, not a hope. He brought me faith. And he was a messenger sent from God. And if he was sent from God, guess what? He's going to do what God sent him to do. But you know what that does? That also confuses most of the people. Well, what about this? Well, what about it? They called Jesus the king of the demons when he was here on earth. They called him Beelzebub. They called him a wine bibber. He hung around with sinners and prostitutes. You try that. See what I mean?
That's it. Right.
And if it's got, listen, folks, and I'm working on something. If we have to see the characteristics of the Son of Man, then we've got to break down what he did while he was on earth. Because if we're looking at the Son of Man, we got to break down what he did while he was on earth.
Right?
He never screamed at a demon. He was in full, complete control of everything he did from the time he got up in the morning to the time he went to bed at night. He didn't have to scream and holler. No. Authority came from here. The demons didn't even want to be around him. They said, hey, can we leave? And he said, go. That's what I want us to happen here. We don't have to scream and beat people to get demons out of them. Good grief. See, that's Pentecost. And I'm sorry, but that's the Son of God revelation. Having to lay hands on somebody and having prayer lines, that's okay. But you know what? Brother Brown said they didn't have one in the Bible. Not one prayer line. So who created the prayer line? We did. Because of the weakness of the people. If that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. But because of the weakness of the people, we have prayer line. But anyway, that went over like a tub of lead. But that's okay. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can scream and you can shout and you can shake people all you want to. But until the words preach to that demon, he'll stay right there. You preach the true, unadulterated word of God, Satan hates the word more than anything. Because listen, Brother Brown says Satan can pass out supernatural gifts.
Right.
Swallow that one. Satan can pass out. He's way more spiritual than you are. The devil is way more spiritual than you are. He was spiritual before the foundation of the world. But listen, what you got inside of you, if you're born again, was before him.
Lord.
That's what I put my faith on, that was before him.
Right. Yeah.
Boo, devil.
Right.
So Malachi 4 was sent to do one thing. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I know we know this, but this has got to be, I got to set this up to talk about the two witnesses going to Israel. Because we're the only thing that's hindering them from going.
Right.
You and I. We're hindering them from going. We're hindering the plan of God.
Right. Yes.
But we're not. The plan of God's not behind. It's exactly where it's supposed to be.
Right.
All right, so look. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. So listen, Brother David, again, he's got to send me Elijah the prophet. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, if William Branham wasn't it, he better send me one pretty quick. But I believe he did. Because see, he turned me back. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. We know that was John the Baptist. He turned the heart of the Old Testament to the New Testament children that was born on the day of Pentecost. But then, he's going to send Elijah number 4 to turn the Gentiles, and forgive me for using this phrase again, he's going to turn the heart of the babbling Pentecostal babies,
right,
children, wah, to the faith of the fathers.
Right. Yes.
What's the faith of the fathers? Peter walks up one day and he says, hey, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto thee. Rise up and walk.
Amen.
Now what about that? If he didn't have it, he couldn't give it.
That's right.
Right? He had the pure unadulterated word for his time. But God's going to have to send us that Elijah to turn our heart back, heart, inner part, of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So we know Malachi 3 was John the Baptist, and God didn't smite the earth with a curse, so we know that that was Malachi 4. Let's read Matthew 17, verse 10. We're going to fly through these real quick, if that's all right. Everybody okay?
Amen.
We got a mind on what we're doing, all right?
Amen.
Let's put our mind on what we're doing. This is the battle. We need to just keep on fighting. Amen. Keep on fighting. Matthew 17:10. Listen, if we stop every time somebody falls down, you don't ever win the battle. Just keep going. The soldiers will make it back, I promise you. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Do you know, truly, you heard me preach on the five cups of Elijah, but they know Elijah has to come back because of that previous scripture, which is in the Old Testament. The old Orthodox Jews know that Elijah has to come back before the Messiah comes. They just didn't believe it was John the Baptist, and they just didn't believe it was William Branham. So they're looking for Elijah. Every year they have their Seder or whatever the meal that they have. They put a cup out and it's empty. That's called the cup of Elijah. When they're finished eating and Elijah doesn't show up, they walk out the door and they look down the street this way and they look down the street this way. And if they don't see a man, and they'll know Elijah when he's coming, because they'll know him when he gets in those two witnesses. They'll come to the door and they'll look, they'll come back in, take the cup, they put it upon the shelf and say, until next year. All right, so they know that Elijah, that's why that when the two witnesses hit Jerusalem, they're going to go, finally, Elijah has showed up. Where's the Messiah? And what they're going to tell them is, you missed him. You crucified him. Because Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Because remember now, John the Baptist was not a restorer. Brother Branham was like the Elijah number one, that when they went to Mount Carmel and they tore the altar down, what's the first thing Elijah did? He put all the rocks back in the right place. He put all the revelation back in the right place. And then what happened? The fire fell. God consumed that. God consumed that sacrifice when everything was ready. Amen. Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. So let's go now to Revelation 10, because listen, if we just take Malachi 4, 5 and 6, he came, the prophet of God came and restored us back to the faith of the fathers. And that's okay. But that's under the Son of God revelation. That's under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For you, those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, God came back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, came into the believer, and gave them power to do great things, signs and wonders and miracles. And the word was preached, but it wasn't preached completely. Paul never mentioned the seal. Peter never mentioned the seals. None of them never mentioned any. John wrote about them, but they were in symbol form. He wrote about them. He didn't preach them. Jesus preached them in Matthew 24. Yeah, right. Amen? So now we had to have a prophet come in the end time to do two things. Turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. And, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery, one mystery of God. There was one mystery left off is who that Son of Man was. If you want to put it all in a nutshell, you talk about thunders and boy, people start talking about that and you all get convoluted in your brain. Forget about it. The seals are for your full total redemption. Body, spirit, and soul. That's what man has not done during the church ages. He's been born again in his soul, but his body had to go to the grave. Because there wasn't enough quickened word to change his body. And it wasn't required for those other church ages. It's required in this church age under a seventh messenger, seventh angel sent from God. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Is everybody okay with that? Let's read this quote right here that we always read. This is Brother Branham in the Laodicean church age. Now this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7, remember he has to bring the two scriptures together, is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children, Pentecostal, babbling babies, get away from the speaking in tongues as a total evidence, get away from all these having to lay on of hands. I'm sorry. Listen, the two times the two times in the New Testament that Jesus came upon a Gentile, he never touched him. Even one, the centurion, said, I'm of authority. I perceive you're of authority. Whatever I say, they do. You know what he was saying? He was saying, man, whatever you got inside of you, if you said the world would turn upside down, all you got to do is say it. By his word. If I hurt your feelings, then sorry. But we got to get to where we're mature adults. Not babbling babies. Where every little thing happens and we just fall apart. You can't do that. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. Now, like I said, don't get all googly-eyed. Seven thunders are what? Not seven men. It's not seven virtues. It's the seven seals revealed to an individual. Because Brother Branham, this morning, did you see on there? He said, the greatest thunder is to the devil is a life lived. Thousands of thundering voices. That's what God's looking for. The greatest thunder Satan will ever get is because he'll come to you and there'll be nothing he can take a hold of. That's the greatest thunder you will. Don't look for a boom, boom, boom. Don't look for all that other stuff. Okay, just remember in one time, if Satan comes to you, say, get behind me. That's what the Son of Man said, wasn't it? The Son of Man said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's all you got to do. Just say, get behind me. And move right on. Which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Look, it will be these divinely. And I'm going to tell you, like I told the church I was preaching at the other day. I'm going to have to say this delicately, Luis. Delicately. If William Branham preached the seals, preached the thunders, preached the marriage and divorce, preached the Daniel 70 weeks, preached all these great doctrines that everybody's so afraid of, and you got the Holy Ghost and tell me you can't understand them, maybe you need to get the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
The real one, not the fake one. How? Listen, how can God speak through a prophet? Here we go again. How can God speak through a prophet and openly confess all these 1,100 sermons and God preserved them? Let man preserve them. You've got them in your pocket on your phone now. And he's going to keep that from you. I thought Revelation 10:7 said he was going to tell you the mystery.
Right.
So listen, our problem is we're not born again. Because how can you be born again and have the Holy Ghost and somebody preach you the word that's got the Holy Ghost and they don't coincide? Now there's a lot I don't understand. There's a lot you don't understand. But to say I ain't got to hear that, you're cutting yourself off. I think the Bible calls that iniquity. Remember, the iniquity of the Amorites in the end time has to be completely full before God will come and bring us, church, to full maturity. Listen, we're going to come to maturity like the Son of Man came to maturity. Then we just get back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read what the Son of Man did. And that's what you got to do.
That's right.
Not Acts 2:38. Because Acts 2:38 is the Son of God revelation. But the Son of Man is that man that stood there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and declared who he was.
Amen.
Stand up one day and said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then in John 17, he said, now I pray, Father, that they be like me, like I'm like you. Now where'd he get that word, I am the resurrection and the life? Where'd Brother Brown say your resurrection was? It lies inside of you. What's going to bring Ray Gabriel out of the grave? What he had inside of him. He's got the resurrection inside of him. You say, no, he's done passed on. No, he ain't passed on. He's just not in this dimension. He's over there bothering Gary Atkin and Brother Dick. And Brother Tom's in there going, I told y'all this is what it is. I told you. It will be these divinely revealed. So it has to be divinely revealed. It cannot be revealed by some novice. It has to be divinely revealed truths. Like I said before, that's the reason I believe this church has been so successful. Brother Dale has tackled all the major doctrines. And nobody's ever been able to stand against the major doctrines with Brother Dale preaching. No. There ain't nobody got it like he's got it. Sorry. But now listen, he didn't keep it to himself. He's been giving it to us for 45 years. What have you done with it? And me, I was gone for 20 years. I was the devil's product for 20 years. And I apologize for that, but you know what? God knew that. He wasn't nervous. He knows when you're going to come back. He knows. But it will be these divinely revealed. So it's not going to come through the wall or a rock. It's going to come through a person. Not one person. Listen. No. Fivefold ministry. Amen. Fivefold ministry. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally, now remember that word literally, I'm not standing up here as a type.
Right.
You're looking at the literal person.
Right.
All right? That's why the Son of Man, now listen, he can't literally be here in the sense that he's going to be here in his body because he can't have two bodies on earth at the same time.
Right.
But he declared that you were his body. And until we meet him in the air, this is the only body God's got.
Right, amen.
Prophet of God said, use your hands.
Right.
Use your mouth. Use your feet.
Yeah.
That literally turned the hearts of the children, babbling babies, to the Pentecostal fathers. True Pentecost, not a Pentecostal shouting experience, but a true Pentecost. So there's the two things Malachi 4 is to do. Now let's go to number 2. And this will help us right here seal the deal. Now he's been revealed through the church ages. Now watch, through the church ages as the Son of God. That's what I've been talking to you for the past 30 minutes. So I'm just reading you the quote to reiterate that it didn't come. It's not my private revelation. It came from the prophet of God. But I can see it. Listen, you ought to be able to see these things.
Right.
When you get to where you just say, Brother Bram said, you're just a parakeet.
Right.
I had a preacher say that one time. Stood up in a meeting and said, I'm just, didn't he, Aaron? He said, I'm just a message parakeet. And I thought, oh.
Exactly.
Bah! That's all I heard. Bah! Sorry. It's time to be blunt. If we're going to make it, we're going to make it like they said we're going to make it. The prophet of God said we're going to make it. Not they, but the Lord through the prophet.
Right.
This is how we're going to make it. Or he would not have sent Brother Branham.
That's right.
He sent us a messenger to give us a way to get out of here.
Right.
Now down through the church ages, it was Son of God. God being a spirit, the Holy Spirit, he revealed himself in the church age as in the congregation as the Holy Spirit among the people. We find in the Laodicean church age, the last church age, he's put out of the church.
Right.
No, you know why? He felt uncomfortable. Kind of like I said, I want one person to be uncomfortable today. I want the devil to be uncomfortable.
Right.
You know what? God felt uncomfortable in the church.
Right.
Wow. That's what it says in Revelation 3, right? That he's on the outside of the door, knocking. Nowhere else was he ever put out in any age but in the Laodicean age. Because they said we're rich, have need of nothing. Oh, we don't need a prophet. Now they're saying we don't need a fivefold ministry.
Right.
You ain't gonna make it.
Right.
You go ahead. You'll be one of them that goes through the tribulation and stands before the white throne judgment.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. And know it not that you're miserable. Poor, naked, blind, and don't know it. He was put out of the church age. And then according to Luke 17, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, Lord, what a Sodom condition we got, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Son of Man. Not Son of God. Son of Man. Now he was reading the same Genesis that we read. Notice that Sodom what taking place. Now look, stop right here real quick. When we went to Thessalonians, it said there would be a shout, a voice, and a trump, right?
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
You can sleep later. Don't sleep now. Michael don't sleep. His big eyes are always open. Now look. In Thessalonians, something happens. There is not a requirement in any other church age for a resurrection.
Right.
If I don't get anything further, we may get to the two witnesses later on. We gotta get the dead out of the ground first.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Alright, we'll get the dead out of the ground and we can talk about two witnesses.
Right.
Alright, so. We come to 1 Thessalonians, and 1 Thessalonians, though, is a requirement that we have three things happen.
Right.
A shout, a voice, and a trump. Not any shout, not any trump or any voice. It has to be the right one.
Right.
Because it has the resurrection message in it.
Right.
Now, all those before, even Luther, Wesley, and the first part of Brother Branham's message, there was a hope. There was a resurrection. Yes, sir, I know there's a resurrection. How many times? Go ask somebody when they think the resurrection is going to happen. Just go ask a Christian friend of yours, just somebody out in the denominational world, when do you think a rapture is going to take place? And what do you think is going to be on? Well, now, Grandma talked about that, and I think maybe it's in another time. What are they doing? It ain't gonna happen in my time because I ain't ready.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
No. The Bible says there's gonna be a shout, a voice, and a trump, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. You and I, because of the Son of Man ministry, the coming of the Son of Man is the shout, it is the voice, and it is the trump.
Right.
And man, that's not the Son of God. They never had those three in any other age. It took a prophet, though, to tell us what that is.
Yes, right.
Denomination, what is that? Well, hey, it's a shout. A voice. What does a shout do, though? And it's an attention getter.
Yes.
Sue? See, she didn't go to it. Sue! See, you see what I mean? The shout, when it's a shout, it gets your attention. I don't even care if I'd have said Luis. Everybody would have went.
Yeah.
Well, see, that was the shout, the message of the hour. They had been all through seven church. You okay? They had a. Gotta quit doing that to older people. you. Bella said, do it to me, do it to me. But here we've come down, though, to this church age. They've had minor shouts and voice, but they've not had the three, and it took a prophet to tell us exactly what that is. And it's a requirement for you and me. What is that shout, voice, and trumpet? It's the Son of Man descending from heaven into me and you. Not another, not Wesley, not Luther, not all those different ones, but that was, it took a prophet to break those down. You know what's a great, what really gets me? Go read Revelation 10. Now, all the way through the Bible, when you see a capital A, it's most of the time is the angel of the covenant or the mighty angel or an angel. But go to Revelation 10. God hid that thing so much. He used a little A. There was a mighty angel come down from heaven with a book in his hand. The prophet of God said, only Christ could that be. So he put that focus on, oh, well, we wouldn't have known that. If we keep looking through the Bible, usually the big A means Christ. The big A is the angel of the covenant. You know, the capital A. But he hid it. But it took a little prophet to walk out one day and he said, Revelation 10:1, he said, only Christ could that be. Hidden in simplicity. Hidden in the Word of God, but given to me and you. Now listen, William Branham was not the Son of Man.
That's right.
You know why he wasn't the Son of Man? Let me prove to you. If anybody tells you he was the Son of Man, say, look, here's the characteristics of the Son of Man, right here. He's got to be virgin born. Does that do away with William Branham right there?
Right.
Didn't have any children. Didn't have a wife. Took a Nazarite vow. Just keep name. You'll clear everybody out, but that first one's going to clear them out big time. The Son of Man was virgin born. Now, a Son of Man can be sex born like we are, but come into the revelation of the Son of Man. Is that all right? We okay? Now, look at number three. The Queen of Sheba. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look at that angel down there to the church elect of what he done. Look at Jesus, what he done in his generation. Look down here at this generation, what he's doing now. Now, he brought it right there, right to here, to that generation. They'll receive a sign, but they won't believe it. They will receive a sign, but they won't believe it. Now, there you are, but it comes just the same. An evil and adulterous generation. Look, they're seeking after a sign. That's why you see these people rise up with some kind of, maybe some discernment or great healings in their campaign. People just flock to them. It doesn't matter if they're Trinitarians, fourness, fiveness, and got eight wives. It don't matter. It's just, oh, it's just wonderful. Let's just go. Because they're seeking out. Listen, everybody's looking after a sign.
That's right.
You drive down the road, you're looking at a sign. Everybody's looking for a sign. But an evil and adulterous generation will seek after a sign. And they'll have it. It'll be given to them. As Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and nights. Look, but the resurrection will be the sign. And the resurrection sign is given to the church in this last day. What's he talking about? He's talking about that healing campaign that went out, the natural healing campaign that saw the dead raised, the sick healed. More people were healed in one service of William Branham than the all of Jesus' life. Proven. Proven. 200,000 people. Remember him telling about going to India, and they woke him up that morning and they said, look, and he said they were army cars, like army transport cars that had crutches and crutches and wheelchairs stacked to the top. That's how many people got healed in his message. But see, that was temporary. That was a temporary resurrection. When he started preaching the message, the seals in 1963 all the way up to when he passed away, that was the resurrection message that they got a sign. What was the sign to do? What did he say it was? Bait on the hook. Not the hook. You don't catch a fish with the bait, but you do. If you just got a hook out there, most time they won't bite it. But you put the bait on that hook where they can't see the hook. And then they come up there to get that piece of meat, and when they do, they get hooked. But let me tell you something. Only an eagle will get hooked. All those others, them catfish and bottom dwellers, they don't get it. But a real eagle will get hooked. Look, the angel of the Holy Spirit in the meeting showing the same thing, doing the same thing across the nation, proving that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead, just the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the generation that will receive it. Everybody got that? Now let's read Job 14:12. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Don't throw me out there and forget me. Right. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes.
Amen.
Job was an Old Testament prophet, and he still knew there had to be a body change. Because remember, he always said, he said, a man goes down and he rots and he dies and he don't come back. He just got a revelation. Till my change come. Now look, thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Who's thou? That's the Lord Jesus. We know that's the resurrection man. Well, now, where's the resurrection now, though? Jesus is not coming back to speak the resurrection. It's in me and you.
Right.
See, you put yourself... That's why I said we put ourselves so far out of the message. Brother Brown said, if you don't see Christ in every verse, read it again. Well, where's Christ? In the book? In the pew? In this building? How about in you? I think that's Paul. Paul said that was one of the greatest mysteries, was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Let's read this right here. Everybody all right? We okay?
Amen.
Everybody not nervous? We've only been going an hour. Resurrection is a state of having passed completely through death and having risen from death. All right? To be in resurrection is different than to be alive. To be alive is the original state without having passed through death. Pretty self-explanatory. To be in resurrection is to have passed through death and been raised up. And who went through that? The Son of Man. The Son of Man went through death, burial, resurrection, body change, and ascension. Everybody all right with that? All right. All of Christendom is based on resurrection. Let's read 1 Corinthians 5:15-12. Because we got, listen, like I said before, and don't get me wrong, we all want the rapture to take place. But the rapture can't take place with dead bodies in the ground. It can't, listen, the rapture can't take place with a sixth dimension full of people. That's the bride, folks. The bride's got to come back here. Didn't that angel even tell Brother Branham, said, you've got to go back to earth. So that's what they're doing. They're waiting on us so they can get back here. And the reason they ain't got back here is because death hadn't been destroyed in a group of people yet. Why would you want to come from no death to back to death again? Now somebody, the alive and remain, is going to have to stand one day, as the prophet of God said, and death move up your sleeve and you just wipe it off like it's nothing, like a tooth, less than a toothache. Oh, that can't happen. Then you'll never make it. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching's in vain. Go to the house.
Amen.
What are we here for?
That's it.
So listen, let our focus not be on the rapture, though. Let our focus be on the resurrection. That's got to happen first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Wow. Our faith is also vain. Let's go to the next one real quick. Excuse me. Lord of mercy. 1 Corinthians 15:20. Continuation. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Paul's telling them, Corinthians. Now he has risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. First shall be last, the last shall be first. Our church age is going to come up first, and the next one after that, and then the next one after that. Boy, what a time we're going to have. Talking about a youth camp. Woo! They'll be all about 18, 20 years old, all of them, from Paul to us. Oh, Brother Curtis, this is the quietest you'll ever hear. You wait till them young kids start coming back in this dimension that we're old when we put them in the ground. Oh my.
Right.
But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So now let's go to Revelation 20:4. And I saw thrones. Wow, this is going to prove my theory. It's going to prove my theory. There's not one throne at the judgment. There's thrones. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Who? The bride. And judgment was given unto them. Because the Bible says the saints will judge the earth. And that we'll even judge angels. You know the Bible tells us that if we have a problem with a brother, what are you supposed to do? Go to the law, go sue him, take him out there and pay $10,000 to a lawyer. You're supposed to come right here and let the pastor and the deacons and the elders judge instead of spending your money. Hope there's no lawyers in here. But spending no money on a lawyer when you can, the Bible says the saints will judge the earth. Why go to somebody outside? Why go to a heathen? Because they're going to only go by the law and not have any grace involved. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. Now this is the bride. Neither his image, neither had received his mark on their forehead or in their hand. Because remember, everybody that's got a mark is the mark of the beast. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So that's what we're involved in. We're involved in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Because remember, at the white throne judgment, you've got people that have died physically. You got me? But they never were spiritually alive. They had no new birth. They're going to have to come out and be killed again. Second death. That's why they call it a second death. You don't want to be involved in that second death, because if you come up in the first resurrection, you don't die no more.
Right.
You're not dead anyway.
Right.
You never have died. There's never a Christian ever died.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Isn't that what the Bible says 2 or 3 times? It says they sleepeth. They sleep. They're sleeping. They're sleeping. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, and I think we'll stop right here. We won't get to the, I'd like to get to that, but we won't get to it right now with the two witnesses. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then so them also which sleep in Jesus. Sleep. You hear what I sleep? Sleep. In Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or the prophet of God said, hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, now here's what's going to happen. That's why I brought it back up again. For the Lord himself. So it's got to be a Son of Man ministry. Got to be a Son of Man ministry in a group of people with a shout, because he's not going to, listen, he's give us everything we need. He sent us a messenger to tell us where that shout come from. And tell us where the voice came from. And what the trump of God is. And look, and the dead in Christ shall rise. You say, oh, brother, wait, that's dead. No, that's the one that's already dead now. Every one of you that's born again is dead in Christ. Not dead physically. If you're born again, you are dead in Christ. Because listen, remember, you got to die before you can marry Christ. Your old husband has got to be dead, right? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:51. I want to read a few more and then we'll close. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. But now watch. You got to be careful. You got to watch the process. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, said what at the trump over here, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. You see, we gotta have something, we gotta have a resurrection in here before there's a resurrection of this guy. Now listen, you're already resurrected sitting in heavenly places in your soul. We know that. Can't harm it. I don't care if they drop a nuclear bomb right here. You can't nuclear bomb a soul if it's God. But they're going to be raised incorruptible. We are going to literally see the dead come out of the ground in a glorified body before, while we're still doing this. You better get out of the way. That's the great mystery. We think it's all a bore one day. I'm coming to church. And as soon as I walk up that aisle, these gray hairs are going to fall out. Now, some of y'all, we don't do that in a bottle. But your gray hairs going to fall. No, that ain't going to happen. We're going to be probably at the lowest of our low. Not years, Trudy. Because your numbers keep getting higher. Okay. Maybe we'll be at the highest of our numbers. But maybe we'll be the lowest of the low, darkest hour of our whole time of our life. Okay, let's go back to the Son of Man. I gotta cover this. Let's go back to the Son of Man. The last week of his life, was it a party? He was beat, scourged, cat of nine tails, beat his back, and when he went to Pilate's hall, totally alone. Even his trusted disciples were not anywhere to be found. He stood alone in Pilate's hall. Darkest hour, he knew he was going to Calvary. He knew what was going to happen. But you know what inside of him? He said, I got to do this for Luis Urrego. I got to do this for Wade Dale. I got to do this for put your name in there. So according to the Son of Man, it looked like they killed the Son of Man and he just went off to nothing. I mean, I'm sure Caiaphas and them was like, glad we're done with that guy. Just throw him over in a pile somewhere with the other ones and his body will rot and we'll never have to see him again. Oh, was he surprised. Oh, was he surprised. Because a couple of days later, that man came out of the tomb. The Son of Man was raised incorruptible. But here we go, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. And that's in the Old Testament, if you want to look it up. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey. Let's read this right here, and then we'll stop. Musicians, get ready to come. Revelation 4:1. Now listen. We've come through seven church ages. We've now come through a resurrection. The voice being in the bride. The resurrection has happened. The people have been changed. We have been changed. And we're going to still be around here 30, 40 days. Right? Right? According to the prophet. Amen. We're going to be around here 30, 40 days. I think I got that on my chart. 30, 40 days. Then what's going to happen? Then like I said before. And listen, I don't get all upset when people say, boy, I'm waiting on the rapture. I wish the rapture take place. But your way, you're like three positions out of the way. I don't want the rapture to take place. I want the resurrection to take place.
Right.
Listen, if we see the resurrection take place, you're going to go in the rapture.
Right.
To me, the rapture is an event.
Right.
It's something that's going to happen because of.
Right.
It's not just an automatic process.
Right.
Well, I just hope the rapture comes. You better hope the resurrection comes first.
Right.
After this. Now, this is after Revelations 3, 1, 2, and 3, the church ages. After this, in other words, after the church ages, I looked and behold a door, because remember the prophet God tells us, Revelations 4:1, the bride goes up. There was a door opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit and behold, one throne. Listen, John's revelation is what took him in the rapture. When he looked on the earth, he saw one man. And when he went to the Isle of Patmos, he saw that same man again. He saw the Lord Jesus. And there was a throne set in heaven and one sitting on the throne. His revelation took him from earth through that open door into heaven. Same thing's going to happen to you. Your revelation will take you. Either take you to a mortal grave, or you can be we which are alive and remain. You know what? It's your choice, because now is the time. They're going to keep him. Let me read this real quick. Is that okay? They're going to keep him and do an echocardiogram on his heart and a brain scan. Also, he had fluid on his lungs and his legs, which needs to come off and tell everybody he's watching. So, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. He's watching, so they better be good. Man, you can't get away. Not in this day and time. But I've already sent a, oh, Terrence said, you better be good. Daddy's watching. So, I just sent a message before I came out here to Brother Dutch Scott. You know, he's got that email. He said, and my phone just blowing up. They're praying for the pop. Amen. So let's musicians come. But that's what we're looking for, folks. We're looking for a resurrection. Amen. We're looking for a message that will take us, the opening of the seals, you say, I don't understand. Find you somewhere where you can. Because God's not going to wait on you. He's already given us 2,000 years. But don't let me hurt your feelings, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this message, sitting in a message church that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or they wouldn't do the things they do. You can't leave this message and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Never can't I look at me and tell me you got the Holy Ghost and you deny this message. You're the biggest liar besides the devil. How in the world can God deny God? Can't happen. They asked you, they told him he was Beelzebub one time. You know what he said? He said, can Satan cast out Satan? In other words, why would you want to cast out your good guy? Amen? And you know what? It would be truly wonderful if you could get everybody to realize they didn't have the new birth. Because you could work on it. Because God said He'd give it to you if you want it. If you walk around all your life and say you got it, and you don't, blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and don't know it, that's the spirit of this age. I got it because I got all 1,100 sermons and I go to Brother So-and-So's church and he makes me happy. Well, that's all right. But has God done something for you at that church? Has God spoke to you wherever you go? I'm just saying, it's just, to me it's plain. We need to quit all this running around stuff. Get settled with God. Because remember, let me, one more time, the Son of Man, He never was rattled. Ever. Now if that's the ministry that's back here, that's the ministry we gotta have. He was never rattled. Storm. Peace be still. Maniac comes up. Go. Oh. My baby's dead. Jesus said, no, he's just sleeping. Right? And no way he said, no, just sleeping. He grabbed him by the hand, didn't pray, didn't shake him, didn't have to go through a prayer line. He reached and grabbed her with the authority of God and raised her up with just... See, that's what I'm looking for, folks. I'm not looking for a Pentecostal revival like the old Pentecost. Now remember, I preached on revival for 20-something services. You know what a revival is. But listen, Brother Branham told us, he said, if you want to see the greatest anointing and greatest power, is when Jesus walked into the temple in Luke chapter 4. Read your message. The greatest anointing ever hit the earth was when Jesus screamed and hollered and shook and run the aisles and screamed. They handed him the Bible. And I'm sure he probably did shake a little bit inside because he was the one that wrote it. And he didn't go, well, now, wait a minute. I'm familiar with this. I'm the one that wrote it. No, he just pulls over there and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. What did he do? He identified where he was.
Yes.
And what did he do? He closed the book. Only God can close a book and open a book. God closed the book and handed it back to the people. Remember, he handed them a closed book. Come on now. He handed them a closed book. Preach your sermon. Okay. Come back Wednesday night. You hear the rest of this. Stand to your feet, please. But Jesus handed him a closed book. And the Bible said precious words proceeded from his mouth. He identified who he was in the Word. And that was the greatest anointing that ever was. And that's what you and I, once you figure out what you are, who you are, and what part of the Word you are, Satan can't shake you, folks. Okay, Satan can't shake you when you tell him you're a child of God, because he's not one. And he can't be one. Don't know how to be one. Oh, man. Come on. Anyway, go. No, you're going to preach Wednesday night. Let's sing a song.
Ooh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Oh, it's prison's over since the captive's free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Spring up, oh, well, within my soul. Spring up, oh, well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh, well, and give to me that life abundantly.
Sing it to him.
Oh, there's a river of life flowing out.
You're the only life this world has.
Makes the lame to walk and
when
the
you leave
blind
this world,
to
there'll be no
see.
Life in this world. Trickling up out of the ground. He said, if I could talk to him, he said, I said, oh, you're here to what? You're here to feed the deer. Water's like, no. I don't know what, you know, I just, there's something inside. There's something way down in the earth. I was reading an article the other day, one of those, Aaron may know it, he's the brains around this place. It's okay, sir. But there's 20-something million gallons of water somewhere in Florida that pushes up out of those live springs in a day. And that's natural. That's the pressure of the earth pushing water out. And Brother Brown meets this little bitty spring that's just, you know, just bubbling up a little bit. And he says, what are you here for? He said, I don't know. He said, but there's something inside.
That's right.
And it's pushing. You can watch those little videos. I was watching it where you could see the fish couldn't hardly swim over the top of it because there was so much force of the water coming out. That's natural. What about a spiritual live well? What about a well of living water flowing out from me and you? Take that with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday until we come back. Wet somebody.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Let somebody get wet. Drink some of that good cold water.
Praise
Amen. Just remember, Brother Dale, like I said before, that if they're going to keep him, then we may all try to go up there. I don't know if they'll let us in. Is COVID thing still going on? Who knows? I don't know. Two people could stay with him. Okay. All right. So we'll take care of that. But we'll keep everybody posted. Thank you all for coming. God bless you, Brother Curtis and Sister Dorna, for coming and being with us. Brother David and Sister Angela, you just all, your family, not visitors, never have been, never will be. We're just all part of the family of God. You just come to a different family meeting this time than you do when you're at your church. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. If you would, bow your head. Remember, pray for Brother Dale. He's okay, but you just still need to pray for him. Pray for a mom. Pray for all the different ones. Pray for the church. And I said we'd have a meeting, but since Terrence is not here, we may meet Wednesday night after service just to see how Brother Dale is. And I'm praying this is just a temporary thing. We knew this morning there was an issue going on, but you know what? Like I said before, he come up here. This was his post of duty. This is all that man knows. Sure, he loves his family, but he loves y'all as much as he loves us. And this is where he loves more than anything, being right here behind this pulpit, preaching the Word of God like he has been doing for 45 years. So just keep him in your prayers and keep us all in your prayers, and we'll see you Wednesday night. Brother Luis will be preaching on the open book. I guess. He told me to be quiet, so I'll just be quiet about it. So all minds and hearts clear. Sister Trudy. Yes. Yep, that's right. Yep. Remember Sister Dale in prayer also. And we'll give you any updates if there's any that come. So let's bow our heads. To Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, today that you'll, Lord, number one, touch our pastor. And then also the hands of the people that are up there, Lord. They're only doing what the schools and the books tell them to do, but we know there's a supernatural being there also. If we could look through another dimension, we'd see a white light standing over that man. That you said you gave us, Lord, an angel to follow us through our life. And that may not be the healing angel, but that angel's there to take care and to lead and guide maybe the doctor's hands, but you're the healer, Father. You died at Calvary and took the stripes. So by your stripes, he's already healed. By your stripes, we're all healed, Lord. We all need a touch from you. We all got little things that are going on in our bodies, Lord, even the ones as we get older. But Lord, even the young ones, I pray that you would be with the ones, Lord, that sometimes we overlook the pressures of the day of these young adults. Like Kay was so gracious to come and testify, Lord, about being in depression. That's a demon. And that thing needs to leave. I know we all have gone through it. Your prophet went through it. Different ones, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you'll make an impression. Yes. That'll take care of that depression. And Lord, that means that you'll send your Holy Spirit, Lord. And when you send the Holy Ghost, the devil has to flee. Father, forgive us of our sins and bless this day. Take care of each one of them on the highway, the ones that have traveled a long distance. We pray that you'd see them safely back home. I know some, Brother Joe, never be gone. Brother Aaron, never be gone next week on vacation. We pray that you give them traveling mercies, that we all come back together, Lord and you. Father, give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.